to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again for another NXT review. It is the 22nd of January. Another good night. You know, last week we had, it was a very like promo heavy show. It was a lot of, I think there were only four matches. Felt very takeover-ish in the sense of matches. Had a lot of vignettes, promos setting up Worlds Collide. They're setting up a lot. You got Worlds Collide. You got TakeOver Portland next month. Worlds Collide's this week. Worlds Collide's this Saturday. Just want to throw it out there real quick. I am in the process of losing my voice, so I am going to do the best I can. If I cough, I might pause. Might do things like that. I do apologize. You can follow me on Twitter at the CO Place to Go. Same thing on Twitch. Like I said, the main page is the _WWE_podcast. Make sure everyone on there gets a follow who does a show. We're going to jump right in it this week because there is a lot to talk about. What I've been doing lately when I talk about the actual show itself, I haven't been doing a lot of like play-by-play. When I started doing this, I was doing like a lot of like, not so much play-by-play, but I was basically telling you the match. And, you know, in thinking about it, I realized back in probably the end of November, maybe mid-November, that really wasn't the best option. Because if I'm listening to a podcast and I have someone break, you know, the entire match down and things like that, I may not put as much effort and be as willing to watch it as I would be if I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. So, you know, I'll tell you the win, tell you wins, tell you what I think about the match. I might give some things here and there. Tonight's event, Finn Balor has a match. Finn Balor's match, I'm going to tell you pretty much every move that happened in it because it happened that quickly. But other than that, it's going to be more just analysis, if you will, of the show. Things coming up. I'm going to dive deep into Worlds Collide today. And then, you know, who I think might show up in the Royal Rumble. And it could be a few people. I'm thinking a couple men, a couple women. I don't think they should put their champions in it, personally. Adam Cole's been in it before. I just don't think that that is a great decision to have the champion in it. But, you know, they might do that. So this weekend, WWE. I caught a little bit of Raw, very, very little. I happened to see the Ricochet portion with Lesnar coming out saying he wasn't scared. I don't know why we put Ricochet in a position to do that. I know he's a face, Lesnar being the heel, but Lesnar's getting face reactions, and I just don't think you need to put somebody like Ricochet in there. You could throw, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of somebody random. R-Truth was perfect last week. When R-Truth was in that, you know, to me that was a perfect comedy skit, and I know this wasn't meant for comedy, but I just don't feel like it was a position that was needed. Ricochet did get beat up by Lesnar, and then, you know, the only other thing from Raw that stood out, Rusev and Lashley were in the main event again. It was a mixed tag team. It was Lashley and Lana versus Liv Morgan and Rusev. 100% honest, this whole storyline does nothing for me. Love Liv Morgan. I was thinking she was going to be in it for better things, like she was going to has kind of the Margot Robbie look in the tub and the things like that. And I thought maybe it would turn into, you know, I'm going to throw this out there, just speaking of Margot Robbie, that, you know, the Harley Quinn type had a met somebody and had a complete change of character. I was thinking she might do something with Bray Wyatt, show up in there somehow. Did not happen. I don't want to say it was a waste of a rebrand. As long as she gets TV time, she didn't look terrible in the ring. But this Rusev Lashley Lana storyline is just, it's taking its toll. Like, I'm not interested in it in the least bit. And I know if you look at ratings, obviously you can't say ratings are bad because of this, but this is not something that helps ratings. I just wish they'd gut it. Like, seriously, get rid of it. Like, stop. Enough is enough. What's going to be the payoff? God, I hope it's not WrestleMania. WrestleMania is, what, 3 months away? I hope we don't get to that point where we're still pumping this storyline out. Maybe that's the big finish. Maybe that's the turnaround where Lana realizes she did something wrong, gets back with Rusev. I don't know. I don't know the direction this is going, but I hope it ends soon. Something else I caught this week on SmackDown, well, it was actually last week at this point now, on Friday, Kane came out and allowed Daniel Bryan to get the upper hand on The Fiend. I like seeing Kane. You know, when I heard he was going to be announced, I figured it was something Royal Rumble related. He still does have the most eliminations, which I do feel at some point Roman Reigns will break, if not this year, maybe next year. Also, AEW, Jericho Cruz going on as we speak. I always wanted to go on one of those. The first year they mentioned it, I put my name in the wait. It came up to me, and I ended up not doing it. But I had already done some other stuff at work, so I couldn't get the vacation time. But the cost of the cruise is exceptionally high. I have been on that same boat and got the cruise for half the price. Going to some places, does it have wrestling on it? No. But if you look at the videos of the Jericho cruise and things like that, to me, just a normal cruise is good enough. The amount of people packed in one spot is, to me, overwhelming. To me, just like a little bit too much. So for me, that's not something that I'm interested in. I would love to do it, to say I did it. But it's just too many people packed in at once in one spot. Even when they have their big nights and things like that, everyone's not in the same place. People are all over the place. But if you do ever go on a cruise, Norwegian is the way to go. And that's who he uses. Fantastic boat. 100% fantastic boat. Another thing I wanted to point out in wrestling was NWA. So I've been watching the NWA Power shows on YouTube. I don't want to say consistently, but I'll watch it like every other week. When the Rock and Roll Express won the tag belts, I decided to watch that because I want to see how a couple guys in their 60s can win a company's tag belts. And that's not a negative, you know, age, you know, anything like that. But how are we pushing, this is going to sound bad, but how are we pushing a legitimate promotion? NWA, huge, huge history. With guys in their 60s, it's a tag titles. If you look at that roster, you know, Trevor Murdoch's in it. And if you remember Trevor Murdoch, him and Lance Cade, I forgot the name of their tag team, but they were in WWE. Colt Cabana's in there. You got Ken Kennedy in there. I'm pretty sure it was Ken Kennedy. Aaron Stevens / Damian Sandow's in there. Everyone's not in the best shape, and you know, in terms of fitness. But one person who showed up, I want to say 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago max, Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner is now 57 years old, and he is an absolute shell of himself. The one thing I will say about Rock and Roll Express is they've essentially looked the same. I don't think they've aged in the last 20 years. I saw them for WrestleMania weekend in 2019 up here in New York. I saw them work a match with LAX. It was a fantastic match, and for, you know, so that's why I don't want to be taken that I'm saying that they're too old to do this or whatever. It was a great match. You know, LAX, of course, shouldered the burden. You know, it was for what it was. It was a decent match. But Scott Steiner it's to the point to where he's almost unrecognizable. He's still wide. Still got the same. He's loud. Voice is the same, but the arms aren't the same. He's covered in tattoos now, and I feel like his midsection and everything is covered in tattoos to kind of cover up some of that muscle loss, because you can get away with not being as in shape, not as in fit, not, you know, not all that type of stuff if you, you know, don't necessarily look like you used to. So that is one thing that I took away from that. Nick Aldis is their champion. He came out to help Team Aldis, which I think his tag team's name is Strictly Business, if I'm not mistaken. It was interesting, and I felt bad watching it. Like, he just doesn't move as quick. The suplexes are still on point. Suplexes are still 100% on point. But, you know, he's so much slower. Getting in and out of the ring looks a little bit tougher. And I just wish he had a better run in WWE. I would have liked to see him in a better position. But I know, you know, his attitude at the time, and even after that when he went to TNA, was not, you know, spectacular. We're going to move on to birthday. Only birthday for today on the 22nd is Tully Blanchard. Obviously best known for his time in Jim Crockett Wrestling as the Four Horsemen in WWE. He was a part of the Brain Busters, I believe, with... I want to say he tagged with Arn Anderson, if I'm not, 100% mistaken. He held numerous titles. I mean, he was the NWA World Television Champion, NWA U.S. Heavyweight Champion, NWA World Tag Team Champion. Obviously, did so much in the NWA, and he did get the WWF World Tag Team Champs back in the late 80s. I think it was 88, 89. He's been inducted into two Hall of Fames, NWA in 2009 and WWE in 2012. And I believe the 12 was when they inducted the Horsemen in, if I'm not mistaken. 2019, he is still around on the wrestling scene. He is, or came out as the special advisor for Sean Spears, who is WWE's old Ty Dillinger. Sean Spears in AEW, he came out as a special advisor to beat Cody Rhodes. It was unsuccessful. He's been seen with him, since then. And then I think Cody Rhodes had Arn Anderson in his corner for a match, too. So they're bringing in a lot of the old school guys. Tully Blanchard, he has four kids. Obviously, the one that has the headlines lately is going to be Tessa Blanchard, his daughter, who is the heavyweight champion in Impact. We did talk about that last week. And I know she's had some issues in terms of social media or saying this or that or running her mouth, things like that. But I wish the best for Tessa Blanchard. And now that I kind of give it a little bit of a longer look, I don't think this is good for the TNA Championship. But I do think that it's great for women's wrestling. It's great for wrestling in general. It's great for, an equality standpoint. If WWE put the title on, the men's title on Becky Lynch, do I think it'd be a good look? Absolutely not. I think the women's division is so strong in WWE that you can have a division without any crossover, unless you do intergender matches, and mixed tag type stuff. But other than that, there's no reason for that. But, I'm happy for Tessa Blanchard. She's worked her butt off. And I think one day, I don't know about WWE, just due to the accusations of bullying and stuff and how, be a star and, WWE's taking a big stand against bullying and things like that. I don't know if she'll make it there. I think eventually one day, but, I just wish the best for Tessa Blanchard. All right, now let's talk about what happened last week that leads up to where we're at today. So last week, all four matches I thought were good. Like I said, when I say it had a takeover feel, I mean on a match specific, obviously not big time matches. The Broserweight match to me shined Pete Dunne. I was concerned about Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle being together. I thought it might lead to a feud. You never know, though. You never know. There's still two more matches, one including tonight. Webster and Andrews in that match I thought were absolutely fantastic. They were a lot of fun. The Time Splitters came back last week. I hope they do more together. Alex Shelley kind of did a backstage thing after that I saw on YouTube where he was kind of anytime, whatever. I hope that did well. The Triple Threat match, Leo Rush, Swerve Scott, and Tyler Breeze did great. I think everyone had a chance to shine. Tyler Breeze looked good solo, and I always thought Tyler Breeze was a good solo wrestler. He doesn't fit on a lot of the levels. He's not heavyweight material. Well, I shouldn't say heavyweight, but world title material. I feel like they're very, had to have the North American champion, the championship back when he was in it consistently. I think that would have been a great spot for him. Him, Ty Dillinger, guys like that. Those should be the guys who they start there, then they work their way up. They shouldn't just be putting feuds for world titles, similar to Roman Reigns. I listen to a lot of guys and you hear, people talking about how, you got to build people up mid-card. You got guys Bret Hart started there, Owen Hart started there, all these guys started small, Macho Man, guys like that, and then you move them up at that point. But if you start them heavy, where do you go from there? Everything after that is kind of down. If you're the world heavyweight champion and then all of a sudden you're the U.S. champion, to me that sucks. Now, if you're an established wrestler and you're just trying to you had a losing streak or you lost your belt and you're not in it anymore, you have a couple matches, you do this or that, then all of a sudden getting a feud for a lower belt, that's different. But I think people always need to start small. And the last thing last week that stood out, obviously the Battle Royale. I said all four matches. Bianca Belair picked up the big win. Big match, or big thing in that, Shotzi Blackheart threw out Shayna Baszler. That does set up a match tonight. As it'll be Shotzi Blackheart. I want to say it's her first, her second TV singles match. Second, I think. So she was in the Battle Royale. But I'm not counting that. I'm talking about a different one before. Not 100% sure. But let's move on to the event tonight. We had the first match. You had a tag team, Dusty Classic, semifinal, Grizzled Young Veterans versus Undisputed Era. Now, going into this, I felt Undisputed Era didn't need to win this to solidify themselves. They've had a great year. They're the NXT champions. They don't need to win this to be set, you know. But also in the same sense, I felt that they might get to this, the finals. So at least being in the semis, they have a good shot. Grizzled Young Veterans, great team. Great team from NXT UK. I thought this was a good match. Grizzled Young Veterans do get the win. It's about a 15-ish minute match. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. Grizzled Young Veterans get the win. It was weird. Undisputed Era, they seemed very... they didn't seem as together. And I think that's 2 weeks in a row I've said that. I believe I said that last week. They just didn't seem like the tag team was gelling on all cylinders. The one thing that annoyed me about this match, and it shouldn't annoy me because this is typically the opposite, Imperium came out. I know, you know, Imperium was set to be here this week. Imperium comes out. They end up distracting, and Kyle O'Reilly... The name of the move by the Grizzled Young Veterans is called a Ticket to Mayhem. He got the Ticket to Mayhem. Grizzled Young Veterans get the pin and the win. The one thing that I looked at this match, and I saw a couple other people say this, that it kind of felt, you know, not so much NXT. It kind of had that Monday Night Raw, distracted... interference, ref doesn't see it, you know, all that type stuff. To me, it kind of had that type of feel. And what it did do is, yes, Undisputed Era lost, and it sets up Grizzled Young Veterans in the final, which, you know, based on what happens later on, we may have an all NXT UK final that is possible. I can't imagine them doing it, so I kind of know the direction they're going. Obviously, I watched it, so I know the direction they're going, but... It just seemed weird for Undisputed Era. I mean, Grizzled Young Veterans, great team. They deserve to be in the finals for sure. What it does do is it definitely sets up the match by Worlds Collide. Like Imperium said, they were going to come out. And the Undisputed Era did not cost them any matches at Blackpool. They did come out after. Again, biggest pop I've heard in wrestling in a very long time. Probably since the Hardys came out at WrestleMania. It's probably been the next biggest pop, and we're talking obviously on a grander scale, being that it's WrestleMania. But in this, it does set up Worlds Collide, which is going to be huge. Next match is going to be Toni Storm versus Io Shirai. I'm looking at this match as a chance for Toni Storm to shine, a chance for Io Shirai to shine, and honestly, Io Shirai really doesn't need to. I mean, she is so over in NXT, even though she's a heel, it doesn't matter. I'm ready. You've got Toni Storm facing Rhea Ripley at Worlds Collide on Saturday. So in this match, I felt it was a way to get Toni Storm a little more TV time, get her a little more noticed, and put her with somebody great like Io Shirai. Going into this, I'm like, Io Shirai's got this 100%. I think it's going to be a close match. It was a very close match. Toni Storm blocked a 619. You know, Io gets dumped on the side, and Bianca Belair comes out and attacks Toni Storm for the DQ. Bianca Belair continued the attack. Rhea Ripley came out. They start fighting. Toni and Io both get involved, and everything that ends up happening towards the end, you got Toni posing for the NXT Women's title. Toni Storm is probably fourth to fifth on the list of challengers. I mean, obviously, you have Bianca Belair, who's number one. You got to have Io Shirai up there. Shayna Baszler is still up there, of course. And I think the winner of a match that was announced later here, and I'll tell you what it is now, and I'll say it again later, you got Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. If Dakota Kai wins that, I mean, I can't see how she's not in the mix, just based on the big War Games back turn, heel turn there. But yeah, Toni Storm gets the win via DQ. I think it was it kept Io safe with the DQ, not losing there. I thought it was great. In the first one, I said I didn't like the interference. I didn't like how that ended. This one, I liked the interference because Belair continues with the big heel, because Ripley's an unbelievable face at this point in the champion. I mean, it puts heat on Bianca Belair, and no one lost. Io Shirai didn't lose, so like I said, it protects her. And I feel like it was just a lot better played interference-wise. But I do think that this should have been maybe a little different, because now your first two matches are both interference. One got a DQ, one did not, but I feel like both were interference. And for me, I just feel like you should have a little separation in that, or not do two DQs type finishes back to back. This one for me, like I said, Toni Storm gets a win via DQ, gets a 2.5 out of 5. I love the match itself, which gave me a 3 out of 5, but two consecutive interference like that, it's just going to take a half point away, but 2.5 out of 5. The match itself, nice little 3-star match though. Next match you have is going to be Finn Balor versus Joaquin Wilde. I don't know what you want to call him. I know it's Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know if it's Joaquin or Joaquin here, but Finn Balor, I don't even give this any stars. I don't even know how to rank it. It was real quick. Savagery, maybe 0.5 to 1 at the most, just because, of course, I like seeing Finn Balor, but I want to see more out of him. I don't want to see 3 moves, you know, to cause a finish. If you're going to have him on TV, I think he needs to be more on TV, you know? Finn Balor hits he started off ruckus. And he hits the huge John Woo that shoots Wilde across, knocks him down, hits the coup de grace, gets the win. He yells, "You come at Finn, you better not miss." It was maybe not even a 2-minute match. At the most, Balor was just, you know, the guy from the start. Like I said, at most a 1 out of 5, just due to the quickness of this match. I feel like, you know, it was in a good spot in the middle of the card, I will say, to have something quick like that. But, you know, it sets him up as a savage going into, you know, what will be TakeOver Portland in February, where he faces Johnny Gargano. Now, what I'm wondering is, will he come in? Could he potentially cost DIY the match at Worlds Collide? Because he's had issues with everybody. It's not just Gargano, it's Ciampa, it's Riddle, it's everybody. Could he play a major role in that? Because he is not on the card. I think he could play a major role in that. Next is going to be Shayna Baszler versus Shotzi Blackheart. So, obviously, this is the aftermath of Shayna getting eliminated last week in the Battle Royale, like I said earlier. This wasn't too long of a match. I think what it did is it did just enough to show Shotzi Blackheart against a veteran, and it's crazy I'm saying Shayna Baszler's a veteran. She's been in it for what, 2 years? Or maybe 2.5 years. She's a veteran in the NXT scene, and you know, obviously she's an older wrestler. She's been in UFC, so she's got that, I don't know, that that veteran presence. And I do feel that you have Shotzi Blackheart, who I think is going to be an absolute star. I think Shotzi Blackheart is going to be absolutely amazing. And it's just she needs to work on some refining of some of her skill set. All right, so what I will say about this match with Shotzi Blackheart and Shayna Baszler is I'm only going to give it a 2, maybe 2.25 out of 5. You know, Shotzi Blackheart got some time to shine, and I feel like she's got a lot of potential. But her game is a little rough, and I feel like that's what happens with a lot of these indie wrestlers, is like, you know, it doesn't necessarily portray well, come across well in the WWE product, because you have people who are now kind of in the WWE type of game, like in the mold, I should say, would probably be a better word. And Shayna Baszler's obviously in that mold. So some of the moves that she had, you know, just don't come out. At the end, Shotzi Blackheart misses with a senton, and Shayna hits her with the Kira Fuda clutch. for the win. Like I said, it was good to see Shotzi hit some moves. She does need to work on some stuff, and I'm really looking forward to her in the future in the women's scene, because I feel like, you know, you're going to have the times where you're going to have the Io Shirai's go up and all of them go up, and you're going to have somebody kind of take over in that spot, and I feel like she's the perfect person to come up. I mean, listen, anybody's better than Aaliyah. As long as it's not Aaliyah, I just can't, I can't fathom that she still is in NXT. Sorry, I had to take a little break there. Nose was starting to get all messed up. Our next match is going to be the Broserweights versus Imperium. I thought this was a great match. This is a 3.5 out of 5 for me. This one and the main event are, to me, are the two best matches on the card, which is great because they're in a great spot. I personally would have rather had Toni Storm right before this match with that DQ, because it kind of sets up some heat right away. Move the Shayna Baszler-Shotzi Blackheart match right after the first one to stop those two interference finishes. But I feel this was a great match. This match, probably close to 15 minutes. Broserweights versus Imperium in the Dusty Classic semifinal. Let me tell you something. I love Imperium as a whole. Alexander Wolf and Walter were at ringside for this. There wasn't any interference. I mean, there was the little stuff, but there wasn't interference. And I feel like it was set up perfectly. They had done enough, and I think it does set up the fact that you don't have to have interference. You can't have managers at the side of the ring without interfering. Old school, you know, I watch old school NWA, and, you know, who is it? What are some of the other wrestlers? NWA, Mid-South, Stampede Wrestling, you know, some of those type. Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Those, they always had managers on the side, and there were times they would get involved, and there were other times they would stand there, and if you lost, you lost. Like, it's just the way it is. And I feel like that's something that is lost today in wrestling. If you are there and you're on the outside, chances are you're going to interfere. And in this one, you did not, and it was absolutely fantastic. This match, both teams delivered. Imperium, they are very good, and this was the match I was saying that you never know, it could lead into a double NXT UK final in the Dusty Classic, which would be received strangely, I think. I don't know if that would have been a great look. You do want to have both brands now represented if that's how they're going to do it. So the Broserweights did get the win. I feel like the last about 4 to 5 minutes of this match were absolutely fantastic. This is a must watch. The first 10 minutes are great. You know, a lot of moves, a lot of great stuff, but the last like 4 to 5, fantastic. This match definitely, delivered, for what it needed to do. And I'm going to be 100% honest, like the finish, I'm not a huge fan of the finish for Riddle and Pete Dunne, the little combo move. It's not something that I think is... I mean, it's a singular thing, you know, with tag team moves. A lot of times you try to have something that can hurt twice, or well, let's say AOP, they bounce the guys off each other on their backs and powerbomb. So you get a little bit of a... you know, a little bit of damage, and then you get the big damage on the powerbomb. With something like this, it's literally just a pop-up throw into a knee strike, go-to-sleep type move. The Broserweights are running on all cylinders right now. The Grizzly Young Veterans do come out and say that they're a joke and that they deserve the championship. The Broserweights ended up walking away with the trophy after. Just like, you know, a little sign of a screw you type thing. I thought it was a great match. Definitely one that needs to be seen. And then it moves us literally directly into our main event. Actually, let me go through a couple promos that happened. So earlier in the night, because I break up my promos usually when I talk about what happened. So earlier in the night, you had Kathy Kelly backstage with the Undisputed Era. She brought up what happened in the Dusty Classic, and they blame Imperium, of course. Adam Cole says he gets that it's Imperium's issue, but they need to focus on Keith Lee because at this point, you know, this is still early in the night. This is probably right after the Tony Storm match that this happened. You know, Adam Cole said, you know, almost don't worry about Imperium. And it sounded weird because he says whether they pay at Worlds Collide, which to me made it sound like they may not win, and it's the first time I've heard like doubt there. He said that Undisputed Era is draped in gold and they have to make sure it stays away. Every single one of them has a championship. So that's huge. Earlier in the night, you know, Shayna Baszler, before she had the match with Shotzi Blackheart, she said that, you know, if Shayna Baszler has to go through the entire locker room to get back to Rhea Ripley, then she will. And this was her first one to do that. I think that Shayna Baszler is fantastic. She definitely needs... I thought it was weird that they're pushing Bianca Belair right into that, but Shayna Baszler will be there, back for another one. So when I said that the main event and the Broserweight match were the two you needed to see, we're moving on to our main event. It's the NXT North American title match, Keith Lee versus Roderick Strong. The one thing I'm going to say about this match... Again, 3.5 stars. No match, even though it had Keith Lee, and I usually automatically give like a half star to Keith Lee no matter what. It wasn't a 4-star. Like, we've had some 4-star matches, some 4 out of 5s, but this match I don't think was that. I feel it was a very, very strong match, and it was this and the Broserweight match coming off the heels of another really good match. I felt this flowed really, really well. There wasn't like a lot of times, you know, you had back in the day, you would have like almost a main event and then you would have a women's match or a real small squash match, like something that would kind of like break up the momentum and everything. And I feel that tonight they didn't have that. Beginning was bad with the two, not bad, I shouldn't say that, but it just wasn't a good look having those two, interference style 1DQ, 1-loss match, and then you go into having a really, really hot match, and then you go into another really, really hot match. Like, there was no lull, there was no roller coaster effect. To me, that's the only thing that kept this from potentially being a 4-star match, because the crowd was super into it, but I feel like they could have been a lot more into it towards the end. So this match lasted about 20 minutes. Keith Lee defeats the champion, Roderick Strong. Keith Lee is the new North American champion. You know, of course, you have Undisputed Era at ringside. And unlike Imperium in the last match, they really did get involved. Classic Undisputed Era, they're always involved. You know, Adam Cole gets this nice distraction on Keith Lee, but he gets taken out. O'Reilly and Bobby Fish get taken out. Strong ends up hitting him really good, getting a really, 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 really close 2 count. You know, Keith Lee ends up countering into ground zero, and it was over. Keith Lee's the new champion. I'm super happy about this, and this is what I started talking about earlier, about having like people start somewhere. Start with the U.S. Championship, the Intercontinental Championship. If you're in NXT, the North American Championship, I wish they would also throw out another one, maybe like a TV title, someone that has to, every single time they're on TV, be on their old school WCW days. They have not done that. I don't know if 3 belts like that would be too much, but they have the talent. They have enough talent in that locker room to where they could have 3 belts and... You know, I mean, I guess they got the Cruiserweight belt, so that'd be 4 belts. That might be a little bit too much, because then you look at what doesn't get, similar to WWE, what doesn't get defended on a pay-per-view. To me, that could almost be the TV belt. TV belt is strictly a week-to-week belt, and you don't have any takeover matches with it. As yes, that is TV, but it is not national TV. It is on the network, so you can kind of get away with something like that. What stood out for me tonight? Obviously, Broserweights versus Imperium. Keith Lee versus Roderick Strong. Like I said, if you're going to watch any of these matches, those are definitely the two to watch. After the match, though, this is what was huge. After the match, you know, fans are like losing their mind. The Undisputed Era, they were kind of taking care of Roderick Strong. Of course, you know, Keith Lee, there was some talking trash back and forth between the Undisputed Era. All of a sudden, Imperium appeared at ringside. Walter Wolf, Eichner, and Barthel, they faced off with the Undisputed Era. Keith Lee, he got out of here just in time, thank goodness. I didn't want him to get involved in this mess. You know, both teams start brawling. Everyone's on the outside except for Cole and Walter. Adam Cole hits Walter with, I want to say it was like a version of like a side or super kick. And then Adam Cole went for it again. Walter catches it. And the chop that he got was the most insane chop that I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the chops, like the Ric Flair chops. Sting used to do the chops. Seth Rollins does them now. Like, I'm not a huge fan of those chops. Walter's chops are different. He chops you to hurt you rather than to kind of like, you know, move the match to kind of like slow down the match. To me, that's what the chops are for, like a little bit of counters back and forth here and there. To me, that's what the chops have always been. Walter's chops are actual moves. Like, those are a move. Now, Adam Cole is, to me, very Dolph Ziggler-ish. He is great at selling moves. The sell, he like flipped in the air, landed on his head. It was absolutely fantastic. I don't know how well it came off on TV sound-wise and things like that, but I've already seen some things online where it breaks down just the sound of the chop. Go to see it. It's fantastic. You know, and that's how it ends. There's, the security comes down. They try to break it up. It doesn't get broken up. It was just an absolute brawl for the rest of the night, or for the end of the night, and it leads us into Worlds Collide, which is huge. So I'm going to mention Worlds Collide real quick. One match that I don't understand why it's on there, you got Mia Kim versus Kaylee Ray. It's on the pre-show. I don't know where that came from. I don't know if that relates going back to War Games. I think it's a match that could be off because there's already five matches on it. Do you need a pre-show match at this point? I don't personally think so. I'm going to list the matches. I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win. You got Rhea Ripley versus Toni Storm. It is for the NXT Women's Champion. Rhea Ripley's not losing, especially coming off the solid build for her to win. Rhea Ripley will not lose to Toni Storm. This is Rhea Ripley winning this 100% without question. Then you've got Finn Balor versus Ilya Dragunov. This is a Finn Balor win here. I don't see Johnny Gargano interfering in this match because I feel like that's going to be later in the night and any interference or any damage or injury would really hurt them later. I think Balor might have the first, maybe the second match on the card. Next, you got the Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. So you got a couple guys from NXT, a couple guys from NXT UK. You got Garza, who's a champion, Swerve Scott, Jordan Devlin, and Travis Banks in this match. I think Garza is going to keep it. I don't think Garza is going to lose yet. The two guys I'm looking forward to seeing in the ring together are Isaiah Swerve Scott and Jordan Devlin. Jordan Devlin, I think, is absolutely fantastic. I mentioned that during my Blackpool review. I think he's great. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I think that should be a great match. I'm actually looking, this will probably be the second or third time I've ever said I'm looking forward to a cruiserweight match. This is one of them. Second to last match, you're going to have, whether this is in order or not, who knows, but you got DIY, so Gargano and Ciampa reuniting against Mustache Mountain. This match, I see there being a some interference from Finn Balor, as long as that match is earlier in the night, the Balor match, costing DIY the match and Mustache Mountain picking up the win. That's personally how I see it. You know, we shall see, but it would be nice to see DIY get the win. You know, in their return together, which could be a one-night-only type thing. But I just think Balor will interfere and cost them the match. And then when it comes to the main event, you've got Imperium versus the Undisputed Era, 8-man tag match. This was originally what I thought War Games would be, but I will say that I'm looking forward to this match just because, you know, this is the two different shows' superstars, or their super stables, I should say. Walter's fantastic. Walter and Cole will end up having a meet and greet in the ring, if you will. I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to this. You know, I don't catch a lot of the TakeOver / Saturday Night pay-per-views. I have a lot more now in the last 3 months, but I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think that this is actually going to be great. I'm going to try to do my review right after. As long as I have a voice, I'm going to try to do my review for it right after. You know, lastly, tonight, you know, Royal Rumble is on Sunday. I will not be catching the Royal Rumble. I will be out of town for a couple of days. A few people who I think may enter in the Women's Royal Rumble, Baszler and Io Shirai for sure. In the men's side, I think Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. Remember I was saying that, you know, you don't want your champions going there, but I think Keith Lee deserves to go there. He may have some epic chances for eliminations. Matt Riddle, does he go in there and meet up with Brock Lesnar? Do they have some type of showdown? A lot of trash talking on social media from Matt Riddle in relation to Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, but who knows? So then that sets us up next week. Dusty Classic Finals, Broserweights vs. Grizzle Young Veterans. And then the other only other listed match so far is Tegan Nox vs. Dakota Kai. I think both these matches are fantastic. I'm kind of surprised Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai is not going to be on. They're not going to save it for the next takeover. It could be good build, could be a disqualification quick that leads to a takeover Portland match. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the Dusty Classic Finals. Out of this group, I think the Grizzled Young Veterans are going to win, being that they're the tag team. I think this could be where it leads into maybe some dissension in the Broserweights. I do hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping the trophy does stay on the NXT side and not the UK side, but I'm willing to see, as long as it's a good match. I just want to see good matches. That's it for today. I appreciate everyone listening. I do apologize. I was a little bit voice-wise and a little sniffle-wise, you know, under the weather. I will be back for the Worlds Collide review show, which will be on Saturday night. Any questions, comments, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to talk to you guys. Again, my Twitter is at the CO place to go. CO place to go. Okay, hit me up on there, and I hope to talk to you guys soon.